Hello, this is Todd Durakon with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, October 28, 2025, coming to you from my home studio on the front page community, Loomers Have Kids Covered. Group weaves 1,500 hats for children as cold weather approaches. This article's by Donette Beckett, Decatur. The heads of children in the Decatur public schools will be a bit warmer this winter, thanks to the help of the love that loomers from the First Baptist Church in Decatur. "We're loony for looming," said Arthur Michaels, director of the Loomers. Approximately 1,500 hats were loomed for children enrolled at the local schools. "We also send to Dove and Cancer Care," said Barbara Buchanan, head of senior ministries at First Baptist Church. One of Bonnie Lanham's most recent stocking caps was made of shiny silver yarn. "I hope somebody likes it," she said. Lanham, 81, has been attending the weekly Loomers meetings for 5 years. "It's good companionship," she said. She tried her hand at crocheting through the help of her grandmother. "It was too tight or too loose," she said, about the items she made. "I kept ripping it out." The act of weaving the yarn through the spokes of a round loom turned out to be more of Lanham's style. "When they came up with this, I said, I think I could do that," she said. The supplies, including the yarn, tools, and the looming racks, remain in the room devoted to the loomers. "We furnish everything," Buchanan said, "and we teach them. The loomers are allowed to choose the colors they think are best for children or adults' hats. The material is reserved for the hats that will eventually be donated. They can, however, borrow a loom to create their own hats." "But this is all for the kids," Buchanan said. "It's the love we're putting into it for the children." Marilyn Rosenthal, 68, is a beginner with her first meeting in March. "I don't have a year in yet," she said. Rosenthal said she fell in love with the group immediately. "The people were so welcoming," she said. "I knew I needed to be here." Loomers meet from 1 to 3 p.m. on Tuesdays and 10 a.m. to noon on Thursdays. They began meeting more than 7 years ago with several members of First Baptist Church. "There's not a lot of church members now," Buchanan said. "But we still have a couple that stay home," Michael said. "They are getting older." Although most of the loomers don't attend the church, First Baptist supports the group and the project. "We have the preacher do a blessing of the hats the Sunday before we send them to the kids," Buchanan said. Since March 2018, the loomers have created 21,800 hats. Wow, that's a lot. According to Jody Hess, Decatur Public Schools Transition and Family Engagement Supervisor, the hats will be divided and sent to the schools. "Each school will then distribute the hats to the students that need them," she said, "but we all appreciate it. Dove Inc. and the Cancer Care Center should have their hats by the 1st of December," Michael said. Although the hats created during the past year have been picked up and delivered to the school district, the loomers continue to meet. "These will be for next year or for anybody that requests them, between now and the first of the year," Buchanan said. "If we have them, we'll be happy to give them hats." Looming hats isn't the only fun for the group. Snacks, guest speakers, and live entertainment are part of the festivities. "We have someone almost every month," Buchanan said about the visitors. "This is just part of our thing." "It's more of a jam session than anything else," Michael said. Large color photo here. Mary Wiltrout helps Judy Carr make her third hat with the Love That Looms group at First Baptist Church in Decatur on Thursday, October 23rd. Wiltrout creates hundreds of hats every year. "I try to average one a day," she said. And in the photo, there's a circular pink ring with, looks like lipstick or lip balm size cylinders with a little knob on the top ringing the ring standing up, and that's where the yarn is coiled around, and in the center of it, there is what looks like the start of a greenish knit cap. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, 7 people shown in the photo, all sitting at a table, mostly kind of speaking to the person next to them as they loom. And Joseph Ressler photos, Herald and Review. And a smaller photo, a close-up here, also color, showing Mary Wiltrout helping Judy Carr finish her third hat. And this one looks like an orange and blue-ish hat, still on a loom. And it's a close-up of both participants' hands and the loom and the yarn. Sidebar here, hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or of a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Well, if you do, contact Donnett Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett@herald-review.com. Moving on to local politics, filing starts for Bacon County elections. Candidates sign up for sheriff, clerk, board, and treasurer races. It's articles by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Contested races for Macon County Sheriff and County Clerk became official on Monday, as 2 candidates for Sheriff and 3 for County Clerk filed their paperwork for the March 17th primary. Filing continues until 5 p.m. Monday, November 3rd. Sheriff Jim Root, who joked that he's a glutton for punishment, was one of the ones in line on Monday morning, along with Shane Beck, who is also running for sheriff. The 2 men, who are seeking the Republican Party nomination, talked and laughed together as they waited. 3 candidates were in line seeking to replace County Clerk Josh Tanner, who is not seeking re-election. Those candidates were Republicans Marsha Webb and Kurt Younghouse and Democrat Brian Smith. "I want fair and honest elections," Younghouse said. "One legal citizen, one vote, and we need to make sure we have someone with character and integrity in this position. With Josh Tanner stepping away, it's an opportunity to fill the role and give back to my community." Smith said he wants to continue the good work that Tanner has done and make sure elections are free and fair, he said. Webb, who is township trustee with South Macon Township, said she wants to continue to serve the community. "I served on a statewide election integrity group, and I want to continue what Tanner has built," she said. "Josh has built a solid foundation, and I want to make sure it continues that way and continues to grow." Since they were on hand when the doors opened at 8 a.m. Monday, a lottery will be held at 3 p.m. Tuesday, November 4th, to determine who will appear first on the Republican ballot for sheriff and clerk. "I've been with the county almost 20 years, and I kind of felt like it was time to move on to something new," Tanner said of his decision not to seek re-election. Tanner began with Macon County in 2008 as a GIS specialist and served in that position until being appointed the supervisor of assessments in 2013. He was elected clerk in 2018 and then re-elected in 2022. Other offices on the ballot are county treasurer and 10 county board seats, 5 for a 2-year term and 5 for a 4-year term. Also in line was John Jackson, who is running for re-election as county treasurer. "I had to come to work anyway," he said with a chuckle. Stephanie King is running for Macon County Board in District 1. She just returned to the community in 2021 and wants to do something to help. "I'm already a precinct committee person," she said, "and I've been volunteering with the Democratic Party since I've been here, and I want to help Decatur grow and be better because we can." The first day to apply for a mail-in ballot is December 17th. Mail-in ballots will be sent out beginning February 5th, which is also the first day for early and mail-in voting to begin. Moving on to local, black enrollment falls at top colleges. AP analysis eyes post-affirmative action aftermath. This article is by Colin Binkley, Associated Press. Washington. After decades of gradual growth, the number of black students enrolling at many elite colleges has dropped in the 2 years since the Supreme Court banned affirmative action in admissions, leaving some campuses with black populations as small as 2% of their freshman class, according to an Associated Press analysis. New enrollment figures from 20 selective colleges provided mounting evidence of a backslide in black enrollment. On almost all of the campuses, black students account for a smaller share of new students this fall than in 2023. At Princeton and some others, the number of new black students has fallen by nearly half in that span. Princeton sophomore Christopher Quire said he was stunned when a recent welcome event for black freshmen filled just half of the room. Last year, it filled up so quickly that they needed to find extra chairs. If this trend continues in 3 years, this campus will be as black as it was in the civil rights era, said Quire, a member of the campus's black student union. It feels like tying our feet together and telling us to restart. Some colleges downplayed trends spanning just 2 years, yet it raises questions about who should get a spot at elite campuses that open doors to the upper echelons of American life. It also emerges as the Trump administration unleashes a new campaign to police colleges it believes have quietly factored race into admissions decisions in defiance of the 2023 High Court ruling. The AP analysis offers a view into 20 campuses that have released enrollment figures this fall. The national picture remains unclear as more colleges delay the release of their figures amid federal scrutiny. The AP requested data from dozens of the nation's most selective colleges, but many that had released figures by this time last year declined to share them. Many campuses have also seen decreases in Hispanic enrollment, though they have been more scattered and less pronounced. Trends among white and Asian American students were mixed. Yet the erosion of the black enrollment has been clear. Among the 20 campuses, just one, Smith College, had a larger percentage of black students in this year's freshman class than in 2023. Tulane University's numbers stayed flat. The others saw sizable dips over 2 years, driving down black enrollments that were often only 7% or 8% of the student body. By contrast, black students account for about 14% of America's high school graduates. At the California Institute of Technology and Bates College, students who identified as black counted for only about 2% of freshmen this year. At Harvard University, new figures released Thursday show a second straight year of waning black enrollment, going from 18% of freshmen in 2023 to 11.5% this fall. Latino enrollment is also down at the Ivy League campus, while Asian American figures ticked up. This year's admissions decisions at Swarthmore College were made the same way they were last year, but fewer black students applied and ultimately enrolled, said Elisa Giardinelli, a college spokesperson. She said the decrease reflects the new legal landscape, one in which we expected to see these numbers fluctuate. Princeton University appears to weather the turmoil last year when its racial makeup remained about level, but this fall the number of black students fell to 5% of the new class, down from 9% last year. The last time black students represented such a small share of new students was 1968, according to the Daily Princeton, a student newspaper. Princeton spokesperson Jennifer Morrill said it's the result of natural fluctuations in the application pool, adding that Princeton has scrupulously adhered to the court's requirements. Some students say it can't be ignored. Quire, the sophomore, said it threatens decades of progress at a campus that has become a stepping stone for social mobility. We're very confused as to what changed and whether we should be expecting this to be a fluke, Quire said. Other factors could be contributing to the swings, said James Murphy, a director at the Education Reform Now think tank, who is tracking fallout from the affirmative action ruling. The Biden administration's troubled rollout of a new federal financial aid form could have played a role, he said, and some colleges may be backing away from diversity initiatives that the Trump administration has sought to eliminate. Not too many institutions of higher education have stepped up and pushed back against the White House, Murphy said. I do expect that there will be increased pressure to come up with the numbers that the Trump administration wants. President Donald Trump escalated his scrutiny of college admissions in August, ordering schools to divulge vast troves of admissions data each year. It's aimed at catching colleges that he accuses of using a racial proxy to sway admissions decisions, including diversity statements that invite students to discuss their backgrounds. Conservative organizations have also kept close watch. Last year, Students for Fair Admissions threatened to sue Princeton, Yale, and Duke universities when their Asian American enrollments fell after the ruling, an outcome the organization said was not possible under true race neutrality. The group argued Black, Latino, and white students were being admitted to elite colleges over more qualified Asian American students. On average, the decreases don't appear to be as steep as some college leaders predicted, said Richard Collenberg, a researcher at the Progressive Policy Institute. He believes colleges can still do more to promote racial diversity, such as giving greater preference to students from lower-income families and eliminating legacy preferences that tend to benefit wealthy and white students. I wouldn't want people to draw from the data conclusion that the situation is hopeless, he said. Earlier this month, Princeton junior Kennedy Beal was walking across campus with her older brother, who was visiting, when he asked a question she couldn't answer. Where are all the Black men? They had been wandering around campus for more than 2 hours and saw none. Beal said it sends the message that Black students don't belong there. With few Black students on campus to begin with, it feels like her sense of community is being stripped away, she said. It feels like we're being set back in time a little bit. And it's heartbreaking to see. But at the same time, I still have faith that we will persevere, Beal said. We will continue to demonstrate our excellence in these institutions. Continuing on locally, three United to add O'Hare flights. Talia Soglin, Chicago Tribune, Chicago. United will add flights to 10 new domestic destinations from O'Hare International Airport next year. Routes, the airline says, were made possible by the additional gate space it won through the city's airport gate reallocation process this fall. United's new destinations next year will include Santa Barbara, California, Eugene, Oregon, Paducah, Kentucky, and Rochester, Minnesota, among others. Service on the new routes will start next spring and summer. United won 5 new gates under a use-it-or-lose-it provision in a lease agreement that United and its rival American Airlines signed with the city in 2018. Under the agreement, gates at the airport are reallocated based on an airline's flying frequency the previous year. United's new gates have been the subject of a legal tug of war between the airline and American, which lost 4 gates under the process this year. Earlier this year, American sued United and the city of Chicago over the gate reallocation process, alleging that the reallocation process was initiated too early. But this fall, a Cook County judge sided with the city. United was officially granted the new gates October 1st. United is already flying its busiest schedule in history at O'Hare. Patrick Quayle, the airline's senior vice president of global network planning, said in a statement. Now, these additional gates have unlocked new opportunities to intertwine cities across the country, serve more customers in Chicago, and strengthen our hometown hub. Teen shooting victim ID, Donette Beckett Decatur. As this article's, the Macon County coroner, Michael D. Burkham, has released the name of the victim in a Friday night shooting. Tavon Beasley of Decatur, 17, has been identified as the teen who was shot and killed October 24th in the 1100 block of East Wood Street, Decatur. He was transported from the scene to Decatur Memorial Hospital Emergency Department, where he died from his injuries, Burkham stated in a news release. According to the initial report, Decatur police responded shortly after 10 p.m. Friday to reports of a shooting at a business in the 1100 block of East Wood Street. There they found Beasley suffering from an apparent gunshot wound. Detectives from the Criminal Investigations Division responded to the scene to process evidence, obtain video surveillance, and interview witnesses. The investigation is ongoing. Police man hit and broke woman's jaw. Tony Reed, Decatur, has this article. A Decatur man who has been sought by police since August 14th for allegedly hitting a woman so hard he broke her jaw has now been found and arrested. John L. Britton, 50, was taken into custody on the night of October 22nd after Decatur Police Department officers found him at an address in the 500 block of North Main Street. Britton appeared October 23rd in Macon County Circuit Court and was arraigned on a charge of inflicting aggravated battery causing great bodily harm. He was granted pretrial release with conditions that include staying away from the 24-year-old victim. A sworn affidavit accuses Britton of attacking the woman while they were both visiting a house on South Haworth Street. The woman told police she had left the room to use the restroom and her phone was missing when she got back. She is quoted as saying Britton, known as John John, was the only other person in the room when she left. She began asking him where her phone was, and Britton got up and tried to leave the house. She said she asked again and asked John again about the cell phone and to give it back if he had it, said Officer Corbin Winans, who signed the affidavit. She stated John John then turned in her direction and struck the right side of her face with a closed left fist. The woman's broken jaw was later diagnosed at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Winans said the right side of her face appeared swollen and discolored. She had later identified Britton from a photo lineup. The defendant is due back in court November 5th for a preliminary hearing when he will enter a plea to the charge. Gunman who shot fleeing car sought. Tony Reed Decatur is this article. Police are seeking a gunman who chased a fleeing car down a Decatur street in the late afternoon while firing at it repeatedly. Sergeant Steve Hagemeyer with the Decatur Police Department said patrol officers recovered 7 spent bullet casings from the scene of the violence in the 800 block of West Sawyer Street. Eyewitnesses told police the shooting happened around 4 p.m. Friday. An unknown male, about 5'3" tall, with shoulder-length dreads, was seen running eastbound on Sawyer while repeatedly shooting at the car, Hagemeyer added. There have been no reports of injuries or other bullet damage, but Hagemeyer said officers on Saturday responded to another shots-fired call, discovered a vehicle with bullet damage that matched the description of the fleeing car. The vehicle was found in the 300 block of West Birchie Court, Hagemeyer said. Officers had been sent there for another shots-fired call, and they found this silver Hyundai with a bullet hole in the back. The female owner of the vehicle, whom officers spoke to, was uncooperative. As of Monday morning, no arrests have been made. Anyone with information is urged to call police at 217-424-2734 or pass on a tip to Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. And on the Life page, A6, just a lot of fun here. Halloween pulp nonfiction. We carved out some data about this scary good holiday. And the photo that takes up about a third of the page is a black background, looks like a table or a board, with an assortment of real and artificial pumpkins of all sizes and spiders and some jack-o'-lantern drinkware. Let's start on the left. Sweet statistics. An Adobe stock photo of candy. 3409. Total number of U.S. confectionery and nut stores. 681. U.S. formal wear and costume rental establishments. 280. U.S. chocolate and confectionery manufacturing plants. 133.2 million, the number of occupied U.S. housing units, potential stops for trick-or-treaters in 2023. 73.1 million, the estimated number of U.S. children under the age of 18, which means potential trick-or-treaters as of July 1st, 2024. Celebration, Halloween plans, percent of people polled who plan to celebrate Halloween this year. In 2025, 73%. Which matches 2023, and slightly up by 1% over 2024. Celebrations by year in 2025, let's see, handing out candy, 66%, down from 68% in 2023 and 67% in 2024. Decorate your home down 51% from 52% last year and 53% the year before. Dress in costume, that's up 51%, up from 49% last year and 50% the previous year. Carve a pumpkin, up to 46% this year, up from 43% in 2024, and same as in 2023, 46%. Throw or attend a party, only 32% there this year, but up from 29% last year, 32% in 2023. Breaking it down, Americans expected total spending on Halloween this year is $13.1 billion. Let's see here. Largest share is costumes, including children's and pets, $4.3 billion. Slightly behind at $4.2 billion is decorations, candy at $3.9 billion, and greeting cards at $700 million. Historic planned Halloween spending. Per person spending has reached a record high of $114.45, nearly $11 more than last year, and up from previous record of $108.24 in 2023. Wow. Something interesting here. Mother Nature's jack-o'-lantern. Letting a carved pumpkin age outdoors can create a creepy effect, and they demonstrate how with an image or a graphic. Cut out the bottom and clean out the outside. Draw a face with a fine-tipped marker. Cut out and remove the pieces. Cut away the skin on the teeth to expose the pumpkin's soft yellow pulp. Teeth can be shaped if desired. Nature takes over. Place the pumpkin outside, preferably in an area where it won't be disturbed. Pumpkin will lose moisture and begin to change shape. Carved areas exposed to air will begin to mold. The aged pumpkin will become very soft. Be careful when disposing of it. Tip, you can put it in compost. And then over 2 weeks later, it shows a collapsed, almost like a big smiling pumpkin. Best states to trick-or-treat. Here are the top 10 states for trick-or-treating based on pedestrian safety, fatality rates per 100,000 people, child population within the state, walkability score, and predicted temperature for Halloween. Number one is Illinois, 2 Ohio, 3 Wisconsin, 4 Indiana, 5 Utah, 6 Pennsylvania, 7 Iowa, 8 New Hampshire, 9 Michigan, and 10 Minnesota. Dressing up, top 10 costumes for pets, pumpkin, hot dog, bumblebee, ghost superhero, bat, dog, witch, spider, Batman, and cat. Children, Spider-Man, princess, witch, ghost, superhero, Batman, Superman, Wednesday Addams, K-pop demon, hunters, and vampire. And for adults, witch, vampire, pirate, cat, Batman, Superman, ghost, Addams family, zombie, princess, Star Wars. And we'll wrap up here. Sweet rankings. Best candies. Number one is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, followed by Peanut M&Ms, M&Ms, Kit Kat, Snickers, Sour Patch Kids, Hershey's, Milky Way, Twix, and Haribo Gold Bears. Sources, Tribune News Service, U.S. Census Bureau, National Retail Federation, Instacart. And with that, we come to the spooky end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.